right, turn to 1 John. We're glad to be here. Everybody looks pretty, and my mama used to say, pretty is as pretty does. 1 John 1:29, there is no 1:29. Oh, okay. All right, 1 John. I want you to note something here. And this might be a little bit of repeat, but I thought it bared witness why we rightly divide. Why the Word of God needs to be rightly divided. Probably the most popular verse in the Bible would be what? John 3:16. What do you think would be the next most popular? 1 John 1:9. And so I want to break down this verse a little bit. What? I know, that's why I'm here, so you, help you think that way. Did it help? Yeah, praise the Lord. See, it's working. 1 John 1:9 is a very interesting verse. Now, this is how most of them read the verse. What? You're having a good time already. Your husband made you smile? That is a... Take a pic. Where's Deborah when we need pictures? 1 John 1:9, we love for husbands to make their wives smile around here. Man, that is a good thing. 1 John 1:9, hey, Connor, you want to go back there with Miss Hampton? Okay, yeah, I got that. I know what yeah means. Yeah. I've got that covered, man. I'm with you, brother. I like being with her, and I don't like too many handsome guys around her like you, because you know you never know. 1 John 1:9. Now watch. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, they make the verse sound like if you confess your sins, He's going to forgive them based upon the confession. That is not the case. Listen, it is not the case. Confession can never remove sin. Ever. It wouldn't matter if you confessed until the angels came and surrounded you. It wouldn't matter. Because confession isn't what removes sins. But they had to confess to get a starting point. The verse is really, if you want to get started, you have to confess, and then there's things afterwards, but the forgiveness of sin never changed for Israel. Never. And it wasn't like they got immediate forgiveness. And I'm going to try to show you that. These people, In their confession, make it sound like if you could... How many have heard of churches that have people come up and confess their sin?
Amen.
You know, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. As if your public confession is going to help you. And people have a sense of salvation based upon their confession. Y'all understand? I said, I asked God to forgive me, and He forgave me. Well, that isn't salvation. That has nothing to do with it under the mystery program. But I want you to look at Peter in Acts chapter 2. And understand that in Acts chapter 2, The verb usage is very, very important. In Acts chapter 2, I want to start in verse 46. Acts 2, 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And when it says the people, who are they talking about?
Israel.
Israel. You need to put that in. The people is Israel. So take out your Bible pen. Write that in your Bible because you won't remember it. I know you're smart, but it'll help. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It didn't say are saved. Should be. And it has to do with that 1 John 1:9 kind of thing that they're going to get forgiveness. It's just not right away. Look, if you will, in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Another familiar verse with us. But he says in Acts 3, 19, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So Peter is pointing them, I'm going to put the cross here. And I don't like that. It's not very bright. And he's pointing them to the second coming. Now, that's very important because there is an event that everything is predicated on. See, that's one of those big words. Thank you. You know, you have to do your vocabulary words, you know. Diane intimidates me because after I heard from Christy, I'm like, I better tighten my notches up about three notches. Now I'm nervous. You know, she's such a good teacher, and Bronx, of course, catches me all the time. She's proofing a book I wrote on Ephesians. She's probably going, ah. How's that coming, by the way? Oh, well, I'll send you chapter 2. I just didn't want to send it to you prematurely. Did you correct it and read?
You're supposed to give me a hard copy.
Oh, I am? Okay, I do have a hard copy. I should have brought that. I might have one here. The second coming is a very important time for them. Because there are feast days. You know, the Feast of Passover, right? And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then there's no feast. Pentecost is here. And then there's no feast until the Feast of Ingathering or the Feast of Trumpets. Okay? Now that's very, very important because this day is what day represented. Feast of Atonement. Okay? They understood these things. They understood them as Jewish faith, that they would offer the sacrifice here and they would get atonement here. You got it? That's how the Jewish law was set up. They understood those kind of things. So for a sacrifice to be offered here and the redemption over here, didn't bother them. They knew it was coming. You all understand what I'm saying? And how did they know that God accepted their blood sacrifice? The priest came back out. When that priest showed up, means that God accepted their sacrifice. Did it mean they were atoned?
No.
No. The atonement wasn't until later. So Jesus Christ went into the grave and he came out, which proved what? God accepted the sacrifice. He spent up to Pentecost, then he leaves, right? But the Day of Atonement was this over here. So in 1 John 1:9, they're not like thinking, hey, we're going to get saved right now and have eternal redemption. And that's why all the doctrine of Matthew was put in place. Go back to Matthew 24. See, they understood all those things. This isn't something, the concept of redemption and payment of sin and all that was not confusing to Israel. They've been doing it day in and day out, week in and week out, and year in. I mean, they've been doing it for a long time. And so it wasn't like all of a sudden Israel was going, oh, what's going on? And that's why John used the terms that he did in John chapter 1. Look in Matthew 24. Look at verse 13. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be what? What happens if you don't endure? You want to get saved. You see how that works? So the enduring unto the end is getting to the last point of either death or this part right here. Y'all understand? Doesn't matter. Death, this is the life here, or that right there. Either or. And look at this. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Now, by the way, why would they go and preach to all nations?
Because Israel is scattered
abroad. Yeah, Israel is scattered abroad, and they're throughout all the different nations of the earth, and they go to preach. Why would that be of interest to a Gentile at this time?
Because you had to bless to get...
Yeah, they would say, well, what about us? If God's coming for Israel, what about us? And Matthew 25 really deals in those issues. So I'm not going to deal with that right now. And Matthew 25, that's about the Gentiles. So when they preach the kingdom message, they aren't telling the Gentiles to become Jews. You got it? That's not what they're telling the Jews what's happening with the second coming. You got it? And that their foundation, their everything that they've been promised is right there at the second coming. So the Gentiles would hear that and then bless them, as in Matthew 25. All the doctrine that you hear had to be done. One, they had to believe something. What did they have to believe?
That he was the Son of God.
Okay? Two, they had to be baptized. The three, keep the commandments. Now I'm going to take you back to 1 John. Do what? Endure. All these works had to be done to get to this fountain that is flowing.
They had to sell out.
They had to sell out. And what?
Had to take up their cross and follow
they
him.
Come and follow him. Those are the basic doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that they would have taught in the first part of the book of Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and will be also in this period of time of the tribulation. And all of those are required in order to do that. So, the one thing you don't really see amongst the list is ask God for forgiveness. Why? They were expecting it at the second coming, just like it had been promised. It was prophecy. It wasn't a need to reiterate it. I mean, he died for Israel. Look, if you will, in Luke chapter 1. Look at the terminology. What? Absolutely. Look in Luke chapter 1. In Luke 1, look if you will, in 68. Luke 1, verse 68. And I want you to listen to the terminology here. Very, very important. He's trying to write it. He said, why do I need a man's Bible? I just got this Bible. I'm like, go look at mine. He went and looked at mine. I guess he saw it. Huh? Did you get to see my Bible? Wouldn't it be nice to have a Bible like that where you could really take notes and look like him? Yeah. And for $49.95. No, I'm just kidding.
Can a girl have a man's Bible?
Make it.
Huh?
Can a girl have a man's Bible?
No way can a girl have a man's Bible. That would be just... sacrilegious.
You look like a Bible student if you got a man's Bible.
Yeah, you'd be in. How many would like a man's Bible? Oh, you don't raise your hand. Tony is, listen, he would be wealthy and have all of his hair if he didn't buy Bibles. I bet you in just the couple years I've known him, he has spent probably $1,000 on Bibles. What?
That's my Bible.
Oh, it ain't yours and you can't take notes.
He has not.
I have one at home. I keep forgetting to bring it.
You forget to bring your...
Well, I bring my my iPhone, and it's on it, so I've got a Bible on my on my iPhone.
Hope you don't get in the battle all well.
Boy, amen.
Hey, I can take notes, too, on my iPhone.
All right, well, do so, and I'm going to check them later. Verse 68 said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people." It didn't say redeem the world. And that's like a miss. Where do we get this stuff from? Then what did it say? Redeem who? His people. I mean, it did not say, I mean, it's almost as if God died for everybody's sin, they thought. They never thought that. That was, I'm just telling you, the furthest thing from their mind. They thought God had come to redeem Israel. And He said this, "And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David." You know who that did not include?
Gentiles.
Wade. It didn't include him. Didn't include me. Didn't include you. "As He spake by the mouth of His holy prophets, which has been since the world began," and on and on. Now, you got to think about this. The whole thing, go back to 1 John. Go back to 1 John. Brother Joe Glenn, we're glad you joined us this morning in Arizona. In 1 John 2, look how it words this in verse 2. "And He is a propitiation for our sins." Who's the our sin, by the way? Israel. "But not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we" what?
"Keep His commandments."
Requirement. Well, what happens if you don't keep His commandments? Well, you know, if that was the salvation of today, and if 1 John 1:9 was applicable today, how many of you all think you have kept the commandments perfectly since you did that?
No.
And now, here's the problem. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Here's the problem. You've confessed up your sins, but now here's the dealy-willy. You got to have a dealy-willy. If you don't have a dealy-willy, you just don't have it. Christy's having more fun than... I hope I'm not scaring your aunt. I'm not? Okay, thank God. Because, listen, if you can't have fun at church, don't go to a ball game and cheer, okay? Because to me, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. Thank you. I don't want to beg for them, okay? But, you know, if I have to, I will. Amen? You know, I'll beg for them, and amen. Verse 26, Hebrews 10, 26. Well, look what the Bible says. "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." Can anybody say, whoa?
Whoa.
I mean, that's a little bit... I mean, you have to keep the commandments after that. You get all that confession done. Well, that's not a secured salvation. I don't care who you are. You understand? That isn't secure. That means you can lose it. Why? They're looking for that fount. Look in Zechariah And remember that what did Zechariah say in Luke 1? Which the prophets had spoken. Well, look if you will. In Zechariah. And if you have problems finding Zechariah, go to Matthew and back toward the front of the book, two books. It'll be Malachi, Zechariah. I can say at least one thing, you get to wear out Bibles here. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
In Zechariah 13, verse 1, the Bible says this, in that day, what day are we talking about, boys and girls? Right here. Here it is. Right there. The same thing that Peter mentioned in Acts chapter 3 after the cross. In that day there should be come the presence of the Lord. Right there. Remember in Acts chapter 1, two men came and appeared on him and said, why you men of Galilee stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus will come in like manner as you have seen him go. And his feet was on the Mount of Olives. Guess where it's going to land here? And guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a fountain open. He says, in that day, that's the second coming. You want to write that in your Bible. There shall be a fountain open for the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, does that say Gentiles? See, that's why he says he has come to redeem his people. That whole junction is emphasizing that Jesus Christ, see, that blood was offered. I mean, there wasn't a Gentile, are you listening to me, that could have dragged down a blood sacrifice and offered it in the temple. They wouldn't let you near the temple, boys and girls. Unless you're like Norm and you become spiritual Israel.
I was real Israel.
Oh, you were real Israel. I'm sorry.
Spiritual
about it. Okay. Nothing. Wow. There you go.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
So, I ain't joking. Did you offer blood sacrifices or anything?
Well, we couldn't do that because we didn't have a temple.
Oh. They were building the temple.
We were waiting on it to be built, so we could go.
Yep. Folks, it was the offering of the blood.
That's right.
It was the offering of that sacrifice that did it. And that fountain was going to open at the second coming. And he clearly depicts it at that day. There shall be a fountain. We sing that song, deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Well, that's not really yours. Your fountain has already flowed. That song is not biblical. It would be biblical if you were a Jew waiting for the fountain. But you've already got there if you're saved today. See, when we talk about 1 John 1:9, it didn't say if you confess sins, he's going to forgive you immediately. That's not what he said. Confession never brings about forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 9. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Jesus understood this. Everybody understood this except the new modern day preachers that don't read their Bible. I mean, really, guys, this stuff hasn't changed for nearly 2,000 years. Yes, Gene?
They have to rightly divide.
Listen, you are going to be absolutely confused if you fail to rightly divide this Bible. You are going to literally be, and you're going to be walking around. And how many have done this before they actually got saved and got into rightly dividing? Say, boy, do I need to confess my sins every... I mean, you know, all that rigmarole you're going through and you're going, man, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'd like to tell Wayne's little story. He said, you know, being a big guy, he'd lay down at night and he'd think, man, have I confessed all my sins? You know, have I done everything I need to do? And I know people under that burden that are constantly on that treadmill of weight and guilt. And listen, the mystery that was given to Paul, the mystery that was given to the Apostle Paul was, hey, your sins have already been paid for.
Amen.
Chill out. I used to go to eat with a guy. I'm not kidding you. I used to go to eat with a guy. And Larry will tell you, he was with me. And he wants to pray before meals. Now, you know, I'm not a big prayer before a miller. Okay? That didn't quite come out right. Diane, you need to help me at these points, okay? This is deep. Not a miller beer, a meal. Anyway, you know, I'm not a big prayer before the meal. You know, listen, I'm kind of amazed at people. It said, if you ask anything in my name in John 14, you know what I'm saying? And they go like this. Listen, at Thanksgiving, my dad knows better, but they always ask me to pray. And I heard, this is how the prayers used to go. Lord, let this food go to the nourishment of our bodies. When we knew that 25,000 calories we were about to partake was not going to be able to be changed. And I knew because of all the fat people around the table. I mean, I love fat people. I'm one, you know. I don't have a problem like they have it on TV today. Now they're going to have your BMI and your body mass index written on your driver's license. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Hey, you're talking about a police state? Yeah, look, I'm fat. So you're the one that decided that you wanted to pay for everybody's health care. Don't complain now that it's expensive on fat people. Otherwise, fix the ugly people too.
Amen. At least I'm not fat and ugly.
You know what's worse than being fat and ugly? Fat, ugly, and broke. That's pretty bad. Anyway, you know, I mean, this whole deal, this prayer stuff, it gets to me. Like God's going to change that caloric intake down to 12. And so this is what I started praying. They've almost quit asking me to pray. I said, Lord, let us resist the temptation on this table filled with fats and oils that are wicked to our bodies. Let us suppress our appetite and let the food go to rot. And I figure the Lord could do that, you know. You know, Norm brings the donuts in the back. And you know, I've got to tell you, I do pray before I get here. And I said, Lord, let all the skinny people eat those things up. You know what I mean? I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. So I don't know what that was leading to, but it was pretty funny anyway, so I thought I'd throw it in. Hebrews chapter 9. Did I read that yet? See, that's why I am able to handle this job of preaching with one half my brain tied behind my back, doing it flawlessly. Yes.
Really?
I was only going to eat part of the meal. Why? Were you taking me out? Oh, good. Well, I'll go. We don't have to pray, do we? We can just act like pigs, right? Dr. Ruckman, I don't know this story to be true firsthand, but Brother Moore said he was eating with Dr. Ruckman one thing, and he was out with some preachers. He said, Dr. Ruckman, would you pray? And Dr. Ruckman, this is what I heard from Brother Moore, got up and stood upon the chair and he says, Lord God, let us pray. And they never asked him again to pray. I mean, he went on to this long prayer and he sits down and they were all like. So, anyway, Hebrews chapter 9. See, confession won't get rid of sin. It doesn't matter how much you pray, how much you do, how much you act, how much you... It doesn't matter. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says this, and almost all things are by law purged with blood. Everybody now. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. You can't get it. It takes blood. That's why he said what he... Look in John. Not 1 John. John. John chapter 1. Look, if you will, in verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saying, Behold, the Lamb of God. Now, why would he use that term? Yeah, they've been sacrificing wee little lambs ever since they started Passover. You all understand? They understood that. Year in and year out, they did that Passover, and they would offer the blood sacrifice here, and get the atonement there. They've been doing it. I mean, it wasn't any shock to them. And see, and he says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Let me ask a question. Did he? Yes. But here's the thing that Paul brought to the table that was unique. When Paul gets saved, he gets a mystery that had been kept secret. But that mystery had to be what? That when he died, he forgave. And you know what? And how are we doing on time? What time is it?
34.
I got time. This is very, 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 very important. Paul, it's like the temple. I know you're thinking, what a fantastic artist. You're having fun, aren't you? See, she'll be back. I guarantee you. She hadn't had this much fun in church in a long time. Now watch this. You guys pay attention. This is very important. When the priest would offer the blood sacrifice, he'd go all the way in to the Holy's Holy. There's the veil right there. And there's the cherubims right there in the mercy seat. And he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Now, you've got to understand that that high priest is the only one knows that he hasn't been consumed. He's the only one. The priest attended to these showbread and the candles and the altar of incense and all, they don't know whether he's been consumed or not. He does, but they don't know until he comes out. Okay? I mean, bells sound when they drop. You understand? What Paul gets from the Lord, he gets from Him being in glory. Right here. Very important. You got it? Israel doesn't know until he comes back out and is seen again, which is the second coming. Thus, the two different atonements. Thus, the two different perspectives. That's why Paul says we are saved. How did he know? The Lord spoke. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. Boy, this stuff's good, isn't it? Huh? Is this great? This is good stuff. Are you having a good time? Amen. Go to Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7 is talking about religion and churches on every street corner and all the garbage that goes with it, okay? Y'all with me? I'm going to cut in to the passage. In Proverbs 7, look if you will, in verse 19. Proverbs 7, verse 19. For the good man is not at home. Who's the good man? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. It's been nearly 2,000 years. For he, the good man, see that? He, the good man, which is who? Christ, hath taken a bag of money with him, and that bag of money has to do with blood. The purchase possession. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. You got it? With him, and he will come home at the day appointed. Well, here's the day appointed right here. It's talking about Israel's redemption. He's taken the bag of money, like into the holies of holies. Guess where Jesus Christ went when he left the earth? The holies of holies. He entered in, but while he was in the holies of holies, he saves the Apostle Paul. You got it? And he tells them, look, I've got some good news for you. Go tell everybody that their sins are paid for. Not going to be paid for. Not, they don't have to reach to the fountain. They don't have to endure on to the end. They don't have to keep the commandments. If they will believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, they can be saved and have their salvation right then, right there. And they are saved. Got it? That's good stuff. Israel doesn't know that. They're waiting for the high priest to show back up again, which will be the... Norm, is this okay, meat? Trying to get a little meat in here. Okay, good stuff. I mean, this replicates what's up in eternity. There are three inheritances. Look at Hebrews. Oh, this stuff is. To me, I could preach like this all day. I do actually. If you want to stick around, I'll just keep preaching. It doesn't get much better. This stuff is like unbelievable. I mean, like, why wouldn't people want to become Bible believing saints of Almighty God? Go to Hebrews chapter 7. Now watch this. You think they're getting this down at the First Baptist Church? I doubt it. Amen. That's right. Preach it, brother. You want to come up and take over? You sound like you're fired up. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27. Now, don't get mad at me, okay? Promise? No crossing fingers, Diane. You got to promise. You guys promise? All right, here he goes. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. What do you mean he had to offer up a sacrifice for his sins? Well, you know whose sins those are?
Ours.
Those are our sins. Jesus Christ became sin. I mean, I don't know what I can tell you, but that Jesus Christ became sin. You say, but he was the sinless Son of God. Yes, but he chose sin. Now, I told this Wednesday, and you weren't here. You should have been here. And Norm was on the road. I don't know if you got to hear it. But I want you to listen very carefully. I used to believe that Satan could have jumped on that cross and stopped him right there. I don't believe that anymore. I believe whenever he took that cup and became sin, once he did that, he was sentenced to death. whether it was the cross or whether it was going to be when he was 80, he could not get out of it. Y'all understand? He became sin. That's very important. He became that which we were. And he had to offer a sacrifice for himself, being the high priest, which represented our sins. And then for the what? The people. You see that? Those are the two points of redemption. You got it? This Bible wasn't put together just as a guessing game, or God thought, well, I'll just write a Bible, I'll just put it together. He put this so specifically together that there isn't a single person that would believe this Bible that would get it wrong if they would just believe the Word of God instead of religion. That's why there are other translations. To create a confusion within the church, the body of Christ. You say, are you King James only? Yes, I am. Oh, you're one of those guys. I don't know what one of those guys are, but I'm a Bible-believing saint of Almighty God. I'm amazed. People say, well, you just believe Romans through Philemon. We make a joke up in the class, man. I go, I've been to Proverbs and, you know, Zachariah. I mean, I'm all over the Bible. I'm okay. Hebrews, you know. I don't stay in Romans through Philemon, but that's your doctrine. You understand? And but the realization is there. They go, well, I believe in following Jesus. Really? Why don't you sell out then? Because he's certain. Oh, he didn't really mean that. Well, that's funny because the guys that were the closest to Jesus thought he meant it literally. When did it in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 45? And Acts chapter 4. Say, well, they also started starving. You know why? There was another program that came in, that the long-suffering of God. Pretty incredible. So the message, and I may deal with this a little bit more in the next sermon. I'll determine that when I get done. Paul got to hear the Lord that was brighter than a noonday sun. And when he got that message, he knew then that his sins were forgiven.
That's right.
He wasn't waiting for that high priest to come back out. In fact, I'll show you that Paul, by that gospel of the kingdom, could no way, no how, ever been saved. Paul could never have been saved by the gospel of the kingdom. He was already locked out of it for what he did. All right.